Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 135 of your Overseas Connection. Yep. Today is September 27th, 2011. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy. Gamertag Murphy's Law, Murphy's Law 1969 on PSN, and OC underscore Murphy's Law for the old Twitter. And joining me this week on our show, we've got Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hello.
And hello. Is that it?
Oh, hello? I'm sorry, you wanted more. Yeah, Gamertag CPM1376, PlayStation ID CP Matthew, OC underscore CP Matthew on Twitter.
Yeah, it's pretty much a given, Chris. I always want more.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, one in one hand and shit in the other, as they say.
Also joining us this week, Mr. Michael Chin.
Yo.
That was nice. It's a nice little
beautiful. Beautiful.
GamerTag Chinny, PlayStation Network Tag Chinny 1985. I'm also Chinny 1985 on Twitter and other things. Whatever. Well, what's going on? How are you, Greg? And how are you, Chris?
I think I'm doing great. Chris, yourself?
Sweet.
There you go.
What's mine say? Dude.
Sweet.
Dude, where's your car? Yes.
Nice.
I know that film.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
I've never watched the film, and I knew that.
You have to watch it twice. Okay. The first time you watch it, it will be the worst movie you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
Watch it again, and it'll be funny.
All right. So I need to watch it twice. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Video games, Greg?
Yeah, video games. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about this week.
We do.
Well, I should say you've got a lot to talk about this week.
I do. Yeah.
Now, I should fill the audience in. We were going to have Mr. Richard Primrose with us as well, but he was called
dead.
Into work or dead. Yeah, that's that.
One of those.
Yeah, one of those. Work, death, whatever. He might come back from the dead or come home from work, however you want to look at it, and join us late. But unfortunately,
zombie rich.
Yeah,
zombie rich.
We could get zombie rich.
And that would be peculiar.
That would be odd indeed. But yeah, so. Normally, we talk about news. This week, we're going to talk about Eurogamer.
Eurogamer.
Yeah, you guys both attended Eurogamer, so we were kind of counting on Rich.
I didn't see Rich for very long, though, unfortunately, this year. Last year, I saw quite a bit of him. But this year, just like I rang him about four or five times throughout Saturday. And it cut out, and he missed my call, and I missed his call. But I rang him. And he went, just fucking tell me where you are. I says, I'll buy this cube right here. And he's like, and I did see him, but I only saw him for about 10 minutes. But, you know, he's still rich. He's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good that he's still rich and that he's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we're going to talk Eurogamer in the news section this week. So everything. We're going to pick your brain, Mike.
But what I'll do is I've got a long list of games that I played, right?
Right.
And I'll read them out and I'll very briefly talk about them. But if you want to expand on them, Greg or Chris, feel free to answer the questions. But it is a big list, so we need to get through it. And we know what we're like on this show. We don't like long shows.
No. And it's okay not to be, to be modest. You got a big list. It happens.
I do have a big one.
You do have a big one, yes. Speaking of big ones, let's jump into what we've been playing. Because you know what we're going to be talking about.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, yeah. Gears of War, let's just start talking about it. We've all been playing it. Chris, you finally got your copy?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long did it take UPS to finally deliver? Or
it wasn't
the FedEx guy?
No, it wasn't actually, it was Amazon's fault. Like UPS, it was actually not even UPS, it was the Postal Service, and I got it the next day.
So it was Steve Conger's fault. Little fact,
this
the post office.
This you're not supposed to tell people that. No. This is what I'm getting at, right? The United States Postal Service came through rain, shine, snow, sleet, apocalypse, whatever their motto is, they came through with flying colors. The problem was with Amazon. They didn't ship the game until Wednesday, the 21st. It arrived on Thursday, like the next day. So can't complain about the post office. It was Amazon's fault, which means it was probably my fault because I probably clicked some stupid wrong button. But anyway, yes, I got the game.
Well, that is a good thing. Okay, so Gears of War 3, we're still not going to talk details about the campaign.
No spoilers.
No spoilers as of yet. We down the road, we may do a spoiler show. We haven't quite determined when that may happen, but we certainly will give notice. But for now, we're going to talk up just in generalization. Let's talk about the campaign first and foremost.
It's fucking good. Move on.
It's
no, it is good. I think that's actually worth talking about.
It is good. I enjoy it.
Would you say that it's epic?
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, Mike, yes. give us. I mean, I know you've already said it's good, but
it's good.
If you could expand upon that maybe a little bit.
Bigger scale. I think they don't dwell on kind of the emotional side like they did in Gears of War 2 as much. Well, again, we haven't said any spoilers, but when they do go on that emotional side, I think they handle it a little bit better this time. I haven't played the last act, so I don't know about Act 5, but up to, there are some points in the game where some shit happens, Greg, some shit happens, and... You know, and I was like, wow, I think they did that exactly, they nailed it. You know, they got the right tone of serious and the right tone of, like, you know, crazy. Because, I mean, most of the time, it's a stupid game with, like, stupid characters that go, woo! You know, Marcus! So...
The coal train runs on whole grain!
Woo! Neighbor.
I did think that was funny.
So, like, but there is, like, a moment where you go, you know, wow. Like, and I thought that was very well done. Yes.
I think
so. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, to expand upon that, I think when they do have some emotional moments, and there's a couple different areas where I think you could tag them as emotional moments, they did seem to handle it much better. I think one of the big things for me that was a difference this go-round versus previous games, the facial animations in Gears of War 3 seem a lot better. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not remembering the previous Gears of War as well. But I thought they did a much better job animating the characters' faces to reflect some of the emotion. And Chris, I know we talked about this also. Body kind of positioning and movement.
It's
and
all
stance.
About body language. I mean, I'm thinking back to like Gears of War 1 and Gears of War 2, and it was definitely better in Gears of War 3. Not groundbreakingly so, but yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah,
it
not
was,
groundbreaking.
It portrayed what it was trying to portray.
Yep. That's always good when you're trying to portray something and you portray it.
That is good.
This is a minor spoiler, but it's from Act 1, so it's okay. Like literally the first 5 minutes of the game, so if you haven't seen it yet, what's wrong with you? They also do a good job of selecting wardrobe. The choice of some bib overalls for Dom when Marcus first goes to meet him totally gives you the idea of this just sort of defeated, all right, fine, I'm just going to tend the garden in the latter years of my days kind of guy. So I thought that was pretty good.
He was growing weed.
That too.
It was a pot farm.
The only way I forget about it, man.
Yeah, I had heard another podcast talking about the characters and saying how they thought that they had kind of emaciated them a little bit to show how – because in Gears of War 3, you know, in the beginning you're foraging – or I shouldn't say you're foraging, but part of the thing is they're running out of food. They're foraging and making their own food now. I didn't really get that feeling. These guys all look pretty healthy to me.
Well, so yeah, I mean – the fact that they were all still beefcake didn't really fit with the fact that they were having to scavenge for food and grow hydroponic tomatoes on an aircraft carrier. And I just kind of suspended disbelief with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. So campaign is good.
Brilliant.
I think they did a good job on pacing, you know, I liked the fact that the cutscenes actually happen fairly consistently on a regular basis. You're not waiting long periods of time for a little cutscene to do the interludes.
Yeah.
But they did kind of still fall into that old formula, and I do wish for future games they might change this up a bit, in that you come into big set pieces, you fight your battle, you hear the clearing stage music, which is that, like, yeah, exactly. And then you're off to another area, it starts up again, and you clear it, you hear the music again. That formula, you know, they haven't gone away from that formula for all three games. I do wish they would, because I think there would be a little bit better sense of tension if you just randomly were able to come across enemies instead of having music kind of announce the situation. Exactly. I mean, I guess maybe this is kind of where we will taper off on the campaign story, because at this, if we continue on, we're probably going to get into spoiler territory.
Yeah, it's a great campaign. I'm enjoying it. I haven't come across a level that I just go, ugh, I didn't like that at all.
Now, I was going to interrupt you real fast. I would like to point out this game, I still am a firm believer, campaign should be played solo.
Really?
Yes. Why? Well, here's the thing. When you have a game that's based around story.
But hardly a good, you know.
No, but you know, single
people
player
are
game.
Talking in your cutscenes, Greg.
Yes. And I'm not going to point to a certain Englishman, but he might podcast with Mike.
Let's turn that valve. And
There is nothing worse than as you're trying to listen to a cutscene or a story to have somebody say, hear somebody say, oh, that's just a little bit ridiculous.
That was the second worst Stuart Fowler impersonation I've ever heard.
It's true. I probably did the first one.
I know we weren't trying to name him. The only one worse than that was one that I tried to do a few weeks ago.
I know what you mean, but like, it didn't really spoil it for me when I played with my mate Marsh, and he, how Dom loves his plants now. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was a point where Dom was like, I don't know, kind of upset or something about something. Right. And Marsh just went, oh, I'll go back to your pussy boy plants then, dickhead. that's funny. But it's just so ridiculous, like, that game. Like, I don't really care.
It is an over the top story. I'm not going to try and say it's not, because it certainly is. But it's one of those things that just
we both went absolutely quiet for the kind of like the big thing that happens.
Yeah.
So
for
a while when that happened.
Yeah, I don't know, and that's just again that just
I've
might
never
be
played Gears of War solo ever.
Well, see, I like playing through it solo the first time. But then certainly going back and doing the challenges and playing cooperatively, I have no issue with, as long as I have time. Right, Chris?
See, I think the whole point of the Gears of War – like, I think the Gears of War is designed – the whole franchise is designed to be experienced cooperatively.
Yeah.
It's so much better when you're playing, you know, especially with three or four players. It's so much better.
I haven't played it with three or four. What's it like? Is it good?
Well, I mean, it's like you're playing it, except there's three or four of you. I don't know.
If you ramp up the difficulty, certainly I think that experience becomes immensely better.
Yeah, but it was like we were playing there's one particular boss fight that's kind of challenging, and you got to get the boss to face one way so that you can shoot him in the back. And with four of us in the room, it was so much better, because it was like, all right, you two hide over here, and you two hide over here, and we'll shoot him, and he'll look at us, and then we'll hide, and you shoot him in the back, and then when he turns to look at you, we'll shoot him, and it was like, you know, hey, all right, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I will say this, Chris. I mean, you're right. Your teamwork is definitely more there when you have human players as opposed to the AI, because the AI kind of do their thing, their scripted thing. So
There's a certain boss as well. I don't know if that was the one that Chris was talking about, but there's one.
It's a Brumac. Yeah. We were talking about fighting a Brumac.
Yeah. Brumac!
It's a Brumac, and it's like a laminate Brumac. And that's a tough boss fight, especially, like, I mean, I'm playing it on hardcore. I don't know about you two guys, but that emulsion that he leaves, it's kind of like...
Oh, you're talking about the laminate Berserker.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
We're talking about the Brumac.
Well, I mean, that boss, the berserker, then that's I mean, it's interesting because, like, it's basically designed to split you up, you know?
I had a problem with that boss fight. As someone who teaches physics, there's a couple of laws of physics that are generally not violated on the macroscopic scale, and that Berserker seemed to violate several of them, specifically the law of conservation of mass. But that's neither here nor there, I guess.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Chris.
Nor do I.
Sure, it makes sense.
That thing spewed hundreds of gallons of stuff from out of its gut, right? There wasn't room for hundreds of gallons of stuff in that thing's gut.
Its internal systems quickly regenerate more stuff.
From what? From the air?
It's like when it has an allergy and it just starts lots of mucus
coming
out.
Where does that come from, though? Like, just when I have an allergy, it just surely I must run out of snot. Like,
you'd think eventually you would, but you don't.
Your body's producing it, but it's not not at those volumes.
You know what, Chris? I'll give you that. I will give you it. Definitely produced share of stuff.
I just had
big
to mention
physics
that.
Nerd.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, most of the time, I can kind of be like, "All right, it's a video game. Don't worry about the physics." But sometimes it's like, "Oh, that's terrible!" And that was one of those. Oh, that's
like, I mean, yeah. I think the only reason you thought that is because that can get tricky, especially on hardcore as well. Like that, the trail of lamb that they leaves, that you cannot fucking walk over that.
No,
like, you can't even go by it. Yeah. You don't have to touch it. You can't even go like kind of in its proximity, and it still gets you down. And then, like, Vapor comes, and when Vapor came, like, me and Marsh just went fuck right off. Like, this is ridiculous, right? And it was just like a wall of stuff that you couldn't even jump over.
Yeah,
it was just mad. But with four of you. I imagine that would be a lot easier, maybe more fun, but it wasn't.
Even playing that solo on just normal mode was difficult. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, moving past campaign, let's talk about Horde.
Horde!
Let's talk about the improvements first off.
I can't say anything because I haven't played it. So.
Okay. So, I mean, the big addition to Horde mode this go-round really is the tower defense elements that they've added to the game.
Tower defense.
Chris, I mean, you know, are you a big fan? Do you think they shouldn't have added it?
It's awesome.
Okay.
I think it's vastly improved over the previous version. I love the fact that you can sort of, I mean, what we were all doing it anyway. We were like, all right, this is the best place to defend from. And we'll shoot the big guys and take their shields and make obstacles and, especially when Horde was first released on Gears 2, when there was the programming glitch where if you put the shields down backwards, they couldn't kick them over.
Yeah. Right.
That got fixed in a hurry, but it was pretty good while it lasted. So yeah, I think that's great. I'd like to see you be able to level up a little faster maybe because I'm having a hard time leveling that up.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that leveling up is not persistent. So it's just it starts at zero for every time you start a horde.
So it is persistent. So now I'm only at level 5 on barriers and level 1 on decoys and level 1 on turrets.
So you level up each kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like 5 categories.
Well, that actually kind of makes me happy then that it doesn't happen so fast. This means there's going to be a lot more replayability to horde because you're going to be able to level yourself up.
Well, so here's the problem I run into is when I go into the Horde game,
right?
If I jump in with a bunch of people that are already kind of leveled up, they quickly build up all the defenses beyond my level that I can even if I have money, I can no longer.
Can't you repair them still?
I don't know if you can or not.
I guess you can.
But repairing them doesn't do as much because your level is based pretty much solely on.
Oh, let's drop the podcast and play it.
Yeah. The leveling is based solely on how much money you spend and repairing them. Shut up, stupid dog. he's fine. He's up there barking, and my wife's trying to shut him up. She's more afraid that he's going to wake up the baby.
True.
Which is legitimate. Hey, come here, stupid dog.
This is the pinnacle of podcasting.
This is professional.
Yes.
Professional grade. Anyway, so the leveling is based solely on how much money you spend, and repairing the things doesn't cost nearly as much as
putting up building them. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you can level up the turrets pretty quickly because you can just buy more ammo for it, and that also helps you level up. So even if the turret doesn't take damage, you can buy the – you know, you can refill the ammo for it.
Yeah. Maybe you know what, maybe we should take a quick moment to kind of reset how Horde now works. So in the previous Horde game, you basically faced wave after wave of enemies up to level 50, and every 10 waves it would kind of basically do like a intermission, if you will, and then you would continue on. And it never was like, you know, on wave 10 you would face kind of the toughest challenge out of all of them, but I mean that was kind of the extent of Horde mode. In Horde 2.0, what I found pretty interesting is it seems like every wave is pretty much like predetermined.
They're all unique.
Yeah,
I think they have like a set of wave ones, wave twos, wave threes, or whatever. But they're not always going to be the same. So wave 11 is not just going to be the exact same bad guys as wave 1 with a little bit more health.
Right.
You know? So I like that.
And wave 10, I was just going to say, wave 10 is a boss battle. You'll always have some kind of more epic creature, if you will, that will come in and you'll face and or combination of maybe like some mini bosses.
Yeah.
Like in our instance, Chris, I think our first wave, we faced a number of corpsers, which came in, and not the easiest thing to kill.
No, because the corpsers are tough because someone's got to get around behind them and shoot them in the back to get them to raise up their legs so that someone else can shoot them in the head. The other really challenging one was the Brumach. I was playing it with some guys, and the Brumach came, and we were on the one map that's the football stadium, you know?
Right.
So we're all up in the concession stand there. The Brumach is physically too large to enter the room that we're in, but he certainly can rain down some destruction from the window.
Nice. So the other part of Horde 2.0, of course, is, as we've been talking about, the tower defenses. So every wave break, you get 30 seconds to run around the map. And basically, it's kind of up to you how you spend your time. You can be trying to put battle emplacements up. So you'll see these green highlights that basically are areas where you can buy something, whether it be a turret or some barbed wire fence or whatever the case may be. You can also – there's ammo locations where you can go and buy yourself refill on ammo. The other thing you can do as you're playing is just – go and pick up enemy weapons. And so one of my strategies was as often as possible is picking up enemy weapons when I could. This way I didn't have to worry about trying to buy ammo and waste my money there, and I could spend it on defenses.
You're like a wild ticker, Greg.
Yeah. Well, and we'll talk about the wild ticker in a second.
The real problem with buying ammo to me was I don't think buying ammo levels you up at all, like in any way.
You very well could be right. It really, I think, is a desperation move, and certainly it wastes a big chunk of money because it's not cheap.
Is it expensive? All right. Yeah.
When you start with $1,000 cash, the ammo crate costs $500.
Yeah.
And they go up from there. Later on, the dog comes in. you get some challenges as you go on. So there'll be a challenge like execute X number of enemies this wave or kill this number of enemies in a 30-second window or whatever. And if you
like
meet
each wave.
Not each wave. It's like one out of every 10 will be a challenge wave or one or something like that. If you meet that challenge, you get two big ammo boxes.
Right.
Which have...
Well, they have goodies in it. They're not really ammo. They'll have weapons and stuff in there. So,
a mystery box.
Yeah, it really is because, like, you could have a boom shot in there. You might have a torque bow in there, long shot.
Do you share that with the team so you can fight?
Yeah, it just appears up in kind of near where your headquarters is set up. So the enemies are interesting because one of the things I kind of laughed at was I think they found a very ingenious way to make the Ticker a much more important foe in Horde than it ever has been in the previous iteration. So previously, the Ticker really just was an annoyance. I mean, the exploding Ticker, yeah, okay, that
it never really
was problematic.
Killed,
but it never really killed you unless you were already damaged a lot. In this one, the Wild Ticker eats ammo, or is it weapons, Chris? I don't remember. But
I think it's
also,
everything.
Yeah, it eats anything that's on the ground. It'll also eat your fences. So barbed wire fences, the Ticker will attack and basically destroy.
You little bastards.
Yeah, so when the Tickers are out, it actually becomes pretty important to take them out as fast as possible because they will wear down your fences and then enemies, of course, will get through. So I thought that was a rather ingenious way to really give the Ticker a little more importance, and I'm sure it plays a big role in Beast Mode as well, but we can talk about that shortly.
Om nom 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 nom.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's really much more to say about Horde mode other than the fact that
sounds great. I really
it
really
is
play
fantastic,
it,
and yeah. We will definitely make sure you get a chance to play.
I need to play it now.
So let's talk Beast Mode.
Beast
Chris, mode. You're the only one that's played Beast Mode.
I only played it once, but it was awesome. One disappointment with Beast Mode is that you go against AI. I guess when I first saw Beast Mode advertised, I had this vision of like a Left 4 Dead scenario,
right,
where there were five of us on the Horde side and five of us on the COG side, and we were going at each other. I can see how it might be imbalanced if the five people on the Horde side manage to all get high level baddies or whatever. Now, again, so basically you start off, you know, wave one is like two or three stranded and they're pretty easy to kill. And then as you go through the 12 waves, there become more and more people and the stranded get replaced with cogs.
Right. So, Chris, maybe I can back you up a second. So, I mean, in essence, Beast Mode is kind of like reverse Horde mode.
Oh, it's exactly Horde backwards.
Right. So you are playing the baddies.
I didn't
you're attacking
you
the humans.
Stranded and shit. That's
right. Cool. So. And as you were saying, as you progress in waves, so the hero characters basically start to appear. So Marcus and Dom and Coltrane.
And Cole. Yeah. So the
and
heroes
they're much more difficult.
And they're much more they're much more accurate, they have more health.
Okay.
So then the other thing is when you first start out, the monsters, the locusts are all sort of in, I think they're in four different tiers.
Okay.
So when you start, you can only buy from tier one, which is like a Ticker, a Wild Ticker, and I think a Lambent drone or something. Then you unlock tier two and you get some slightly more advanced bad guys until you can get down to the bottom where you can unlock like the really high level bad guys, although they may or may not be all that useful because they're really expensive. So you earn money in Beast Mode just like you do in Horde Mode by causing damage to the cog, either by damaging their defenses or by damaging them themselves.
Okay. Now, out of curiosity, is this a timed mode?
Yes.
I was under the impression it is. Okay.
Yes.
So it is
so
timed.
Each wave, you have a limited amount of time to complete.
Okay.
There's not you can respawn an infinite number of times. You just have a limited amount of time to complete the mission.
Okay, but and for every person like you kill, that kind of thing, do you get
it
added
adds
time?
Time?
Okay,
yep. Every time you kill one of them, it adds time.
Okay.
Yep.
I think originally, though, back to your first point. I think originally they did have this set up. It was going to be human versus beast. Or, you know, kind of Left 4 Dead scenario where, you know, you basically human opponent versus human opponent. But I think they did change that around probably very much for what you were saying. It probably became a little imbalanced as you got up in levels and just wasn't that much fun.
Yeah, there's got to be a way they can balance that out because, man, it would just be so much more fun if, you know, you were playing as a
Ticker.
when he exploded somebody.
True. Because, I mean, in reality, a lot of what we're talking about is really just team deathmatch. You know, one side playing as the Locust, one side playing as, humans.
No, it really isn't. Because you have an unlimited – it's more like Left 4 Dead. You know, in Left 4 Dead, you can sort of respawn. If you're the zombies, you can respawn as fast as your respawn timer will run out, as many times as you need to. Whereas if – and that's the same way that the beast mode works.
Okay.
Whereas if you're playing team deathmatch – either both sides have unlimited respawns or both sides only get one respawn or whatever.
Right, right.
So.
Okay.
I think it's different.
No. You're right. It definitely is different. Let's talk real fast on the regular multiplayer. I mean, I haven't seen too many changes to the game style on the multiplayer side. Team deathmatch is still pretty much team deathmatch. That you have the tickets. It dwindles down. I'm trying to remember, though. I can't remember if that was something new that came about we played in the beta or if that they instituted back in Gears of War 2. I think they
What's
had
that?
It in Gears
What's
of War 2. The tickets, basically the team deathmatch, mode, because before it was just Warzone.
That's new.
Okay.
That's new to Gears of War 3. It was in the beta as well.
It is a infinitely better mode than Warzone to me.
I do like Warzone, though.
I like Warzone because it instantly gets pretty tense pretty fast.
Yeah.
But Team Deathmatch, the matches seem to last longer, and you definitely get – you know, there's nothing worse than getting killed within the first minute of a Warzone match and then just sitting there waiting.
You just want to kill shit, right? And like,
yep.
You die and you can come back, whereas Warzone, like, it's a little bit more as you say, tense. And I do enjoy Warzone. I think it's great.
Yeah. Capture the Leader, they had this, I believe, before. I know they had the in Gears of War 2, they had kind of the old guy that you would go and try and capture. The meat shield or meat flag. They've done away with that from what I understand. That game mode no longer exists, but the Capture the Leader certainly still exists. And I think it's a good mode. I'm glad they brought that back. I'm not a big fan of King of the Hill. I know Duke was saying he loved that. King of the Hill to me just feels too much like a rush to one spot and everybody fight over it. There doesn't seem to be much tactic to it. I mean, I know there is, but
I'm not a huge fan of King of the Hill.
Yeah, it just doesn't have as good a flow to me as some of the other modes do.
I think it's hard. Like, you come across a team that are really good at it, and that you do come across teams that are brilliant at it and they're working together, and then you get in bundles in the team that are shit. That's what usually happens with me.
Yep. And then there's Wingman, which is the still, you know, basically two-player teams.
2v2v2v2.
And, you know, I mean, those are fun modes, but again, I think the bread and butter for Gears of War 3 is going to be Team Deathmatch, Warzone, and the Leader Execution.
I won a brilliant match of Wingman. We only had one kill and we was doing crap, and these two guys were like owning everyone, and then I fucked them both up with the sawed-off shotgun and we won. Like, I was so happy. Good man.
Yeah. I mean, you still have, and you know, this is something.
Still got it, Craig. I still got it.
Yeah. But this is what I love about Gears of War, though. No other game has ever made me, like, really just yell out loud, cheering, even when I'm just watching somebody else play. And that's what you get in some of these multiplayer matches, where it's coming down to the wire.
It's slow. It's like, but not too slow. It's like,
it's funny because it's slow, but it's fast.
Well, there's a lot of, like, stopping and starting and working out where the other person is. And in Call of Duty, I mean, it's just run, which is fine and fun, but like, it's just chase.
I was going to say, you never have that moment in Call of Duty or even Battlefield where you're down to just, it's me against him.
Yeah.
And even when you do have that moment, it doesn't feel like it. Whereas in Gears of War, when you're down to the last two players on the map, one on each side, you know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody's watching the monitor, and you're kind of watching your teammate go through, and you're just, you know, you're cheering them on.
I mean, they do have sabotage in Call of Duty, but like, it just, I don't know. Just like you say, Greg, it doesn't feel the same, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much Gears of War 3. I mean, I don't know if there's much more to say.
It's great.
It is great.
It's groovy.
It is definitely living up to the hype. The Metacritic check, by the way, 91 on Metacritic.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yep, and it's pretty good. So, Mike, you're not doing too bad on the old Metacritic so far. We still have a long ways to go, but on our Metacritic check, I'm keeping track of everybody's. You know, everybody's.
Am I like kind of on track of getting everything right?
You've got one on the lowest, and you've got one on the highest so far. So,
yeah.
We shall see. We shall see. All right. So let's talk about any other game we might have played.
Nope.
Nothing from Mike. Chris, anything else on your end?
I played some more demos, but I forgot what they were.
They left a lasting impression, I take it.
Yeah, nothing really awesome. The dog didn't even like them.
I did make the mistake, and I will say mistake. I played Burnout Crash. Wanted to check it out. You know what? This could have been a very fun game. I mean, the core concept of Burnout in itself was just an arcade game. I mean, you know, the whole crash mode, that was perfect for an arcade game. But they decided to go with this top-down viewpoint. And what's worse yet is the actual gameplay itself is boring as hell.
Boring.
You drive your car down the street, or there are other modes. I shouldn't say the entire game is this way because there are plenty of other modes, but they're not unlocked for the trial. So the trial only has this one mode, which does not sell the game. But the mode basically is this. Drive down into the intersection. You crash your car. Mm-hmm. And then from there, your job is to block the four – basically because it's a four-way stop intersection. You have to block all traffic from getting through.
Right.
And if you let five cars get through in any direction, then it's game over.
That sounds short.
And what happens is you crash, and then from there, your car will have kind of the crash mode, or the explosion mode, where you just hit the A button, and your car will explode, and you can kind of direct it in a direction to land, because your car goes flying up in the air. And the object basically is to make it blow up into more cars and pile up cars in all different directions. But that's all you do. So you're just sitting there constantly just kind of re-blowing up your car. And it was just boring. I could not believe it
sounds boring, to be honest.
Yeah, and this is the mode they decided to sell the game on, which tells me I don't think the other modes are going to be terribly much better. So, Burnout Crash was a big, big pass for me. All right. Well, that's it for what we've been playing. So let's hit the new releases. All right. So new releases this week. On the Wii retail shelves, there's actually some games coming out finally. Cabela's what? Big Game Hunter. Not that we haven't seen this before, but yes.
Yeah.
Those Cabela games are still going.
FIFA Soccer 12.
FIFA
comes out this week. Game Show Fun Pack. Yeah, Game Show Fun Pack. And X-Men Destiny. Hitting the retail shelves this week on the Wii. PS3 has a bucket load of games. I mean, there is a ton. First up, the game I probably will not be able to say, Atelieri Tottori. The Adventure of Arland, yes, actual game name, comes out this week on the retail shelves. Cabela's Big Game Hunter, Child of Eden, FIFA Soccer 12, The Eco and Shadow of Colossus HD comes out this week. Steve Conger's all kinds of excited for that. Bro Evolution Soccer 2012 comes out this week. And Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Classic Trilogy HD comes out this week. Lots of HD remakes.
I'm on the PS3, right?
That is on the PS3, yes. And then X-Men Destiny, of course, also hitting the retail shelves this week.
Oh, is that any good or not? Is it good?
Everything I've heard says not so good.
Silicon Knights does it again.
Yeah. PSN games this week. Castlevania Harmony of Despair finally making its way out on the old PSN.
That's the multiplayer one, right?
Yes, that is. Mercury HG comes out this week.
Whoa.
Along with Free Dog Barks.
That's a PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes. Yeah. Resident Evil Code Veronica XHD comes out this week.
Oh. Is that PS3 on it as well?
No, that is coming out on both platforms, but it's going to be basically a downloadable title. Rochard comes out this week. Not familiar with that game, but that's out.
Rochard,
excuse me.
Yeah, so that's the one that I posted about in the forums a few weeks ago. It's it looks like it'll be pretty clever. It's a it's kind of a side-scrolling puzzle game, and you have a gravity gun.
Okay.
But not only is it like, it's not like a gravity gun just for grabbing and manipulating objects. I guess you can also change the, if you will, the magnitude of the force of gravity in your little region or whatever. You should check it out. I'm gonna probably download the trial later tonight. It looks like it'll be pretty cool.
Alright, so there you go. Rochard, worth checking out.
It's, so they're like space miners, right? They've been mining asteroids. And then some aliens come or something.
It always happens. The aliens always come.
Always at the worst time, isn't it?
Worst job in the world, space miner. Okay. I'm telling you right now. Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 12, again, with Free Dog Barks. We've got, on the minis front, Galcon Labs, Jelly Pops, and Revolution Youth coming out this week. And DLC front, Fallout New Vegas, Courier Stash, and Gunrunner's Arsenal comes out this week on the PS3.
I haven't heard about those. Huh? I have to look them up. Others come.
They are indeed coming out to Xbox Live, and we'll talk about that right now. Retail shelves, Xbox Live, Air Conflicts, Secret Wars. If you like your flight games, Chris, this might be the one for you. Who knows?
Secret War. It's a secret war.
It's a secret war. Cabela's Big Game Hunter.
Still going.
FIFA Soccer 12.
FIFA.
Pro Evolution Soccer 2012. And X-Men Destiny. I think it's soccer.
X-Men Destiny. Hurry up and make Eternal Darkness 2. Dickheads.
Xbox Live Arcade, Mercury HG, and MLG Bobblehead Baseball come out this week. On the demos front, for those Kinect lovers that love some Sesame Street, Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster demo comes out this week. And again, on the DLC front, Fallout New Vegas, Courier Stash, and Gunrunner's Arsenal out this week. Games on Demand has a few titles coming out. Resident Evil Code Veronica XHD, Crisis 2, and Blur, all coming out on Games on Demand.
Blur.
And that is it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright, so news this week. Like we said before, no real news. We're going to talk Eurogamer.
Eurogamer games.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. So, Mike, Eurogamer, let's talk about it. You were there. Lots of people from the community actually were there.
4,000 of them.
4,000 of them.
4,000. Now, people become turned up. Bongo the Sane, it's safe to say Bongo the Sane is insane.
Okay.
Clearly insane, that kid. He was such a nice guy, though. Such a nice guy. Chris MJW, we know him. He was super nice. Looks younger than you think he is, Greg.
Hmm. Okay.
He's 32, right? Looks a lot younger. He could probably be passed as, like, around my age. Maybe even looks younger than me.
Hmm.
GH Rocker, we met him, Soup Dragon Dan, Zerug, Bongo the Saints called Dogra, and we met a lot of the Midlife Gamer crew who invited us to their auction. They had an auction on Saturday night.
Okay.
And they raised over £2,000 for some charity. I'm sorry, Midlife
Excellent.
Gamer.
Excellent.
I can't remember what it was, but it was a good course, and they had a shit ton of stuff to give away on a raffle, and they were fine with us like tagging along because Bongo was going and stuff, and they were very nice, you know, they knew who Stu and I were and stuff, and also another thing, you know, Chris, he said like, I listen to you more than I listen to my wife. Because I listen to Veteran Gamers and Overseas Connection, and I listen. But Chris was cool. Like, Chris like was with us all day, and he was so nice. And Soup Dragon Dan, he's a fireman, right? And he was telling me some interesting, funny stories about what women get up to when they see firemen, right? And all sorts of stuff. And I said, like, when we was at the Nolan North thing, right? I saw Stu kind of sit up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I said to Soup Dragon Dan, I says, I bet you Stu wants to ask a question about Portal 2. Right? And about 5 minutes later, he says, I might ask him a question about Portal 2. Like, bang, goes straight. And Dan just looked at me going, how did you know?
Well, you know him well. You know him
well. I do.
Well, let's talk about real fast the funny moment with Nolan North. So,
Fletcher and Lewis as well. Those are the other two. Yes. So we met Nolan North. Who was very nice, and he talked about Portal 2, his appearance in that, but he was mainly there to talk about Uncharted 3, of course, and his role in that. We met him afterwards, Stu and I was talking to him, and we had a funny picture with him, and, like, everybody was quite boring with him and just took a picture and standard, and we did, like, a funny pose, and, like, we chatted to him, even though there's a load of people, like, waiting to see him, and like the PR woman was just kind of, I don't know if it was his PR woman or she was kind of like the organizer. She was trying to get everybody out of that room because like they have to kind of get everybody
out of the room.
And I think Guild Wars 2 was on afterwards. Right, and she was like, fucking get the fuck out. All right. Why do you want to see this stupid dude in a game? And he's like, we love him. Leave him alone. Everybody just kind of took a picture with him and very briefly shook his hand. Like, we, like, tried to, it's like, let's be different. Let's have a chat
with
him.
Did Stu kiss him?
No. Oh. I did touch his bum, though. Right, no.
Okay.
I talked to him, and we couldn't get rid of him. Like, he was just talking forever. All right, and he was like, oh, and another
save
thing.
Me.
He was like,
save me.
Nolan, yeah, that's great. Like, we got to go. All right, so all these people just, like, giving us evil stuff. He was very nice, anyway.
Okay, so that was the one session you went to. Did you guys go to any other sessions?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, yes, we saw...
I would expect you to remember this.
Rage. We went to another Rage session, and, like, they... All right, I'll tell you about it. It was, like, kind of like a little secret for everybody, but I'll tell you about it. So, you know, they showed us more of... Like, they showed us 20 years of id Software, so they showed us, like, this video, and, I mean, it had a terrible soundtrack, but... It was basically like, you know, showing like a bit of a video reel of all the games that they've made. And then Tim Willis, who's one of the guys that he kind of talked a lot about like the old games like Doom 1 and like, when the trailer and the video come up, like he asked everybody to cheer when their favorite game come on. Bongo the same went insane when Quake 1 came up. He went, yes! Yeah! Like that. And you ask Bongo to shout or anything, like, he'll do it anywhere. Like, he doesn't care. Alright. So anyway, like, that trailer came up, and then he was talking, you know, about, like, the different games, and he very quickly went over Quake 2, because no one liked Quake 2. He was like, yeah, Quake 2 exists, it's brilliant. Yeah. And he did say, it's like, it should have been a different franchise, because it really wasn't a Quake game.
Right.
But, you know, you live and learn. And they talked about, like, the different challenges and like how mad like kind of how Doom was like the first like first person well Wolfenstein was the first person shooter but it wasn't truly 3D, it was just like trickery, you know, it was
right.
Trickery 2D, and like I think like one of the Doom games or one of the Quake games was the first true 3D film video game.
I think Doom was actually the first 3D one.
Well, I don't know what it was, but actually, I don't think it was. I don't know. I'm not Tim Willis, so I don't care. Right, but, he was talking about
that. It was a good session.
It was interesting. And then he showed Rage, and, like, he didn't really show us anything too amazing. Like, it was just another level where you fight loads of Cockney British geezers, and they're like, "Oi, get here! I'm gonna get him!" and all this. And I was like, "Really? Come on!" And then he showed us this very cool Easter egg, where, like Wolfenstein was all about clicking on the walls, and if you click on the walls, sometimes they open and slide open and whatever.
Right.
So he's in this room in the game Rage, you know, and it's Rage and it looks great. And then he clicks on a wall and it opens, and inside is a level that would look like it came straight out of Wolfenstein.
Wow. Right?
And there was a little trophy, like, at the end, and I'm assuming that's an achievement or something.
That, right, right.
And there's a few more, like, there's two more, and I think, obviously, there's, like, a Doom one and a Quake one, and, like, you know, he says, I'm not gonna tell you where they are, but like you'll have to find them. But then he went into the Wolfenstein thing and he looked at that one. He says, "Look, 1991," and then he turns it round and he's like, 2011, 1991, 2011, 1991, and it was quite amazing. They like just stuck it in, so I thought that was funny. Yeah, they just talked about Rage really, and
okay,
it's coming, and it's coming. I suppose I better get into like the games that I've played, right?
Yeah. Well, why don't we'll walk right over to that section. So the games that you played. So okay. We know Rage.
So Rage. I'll start with Rage. Rage is looking pretty sweet. It's probably one of my favorite games of the show.
Okay.
It was the first time I got to play it. I played it on an Xbox 360. It looks fantastic. Like, probably one of the best first-person shooters I've ever seen, like, graphically. It was brilliant.
Wow. Okay.
I was super impressed by the graphics. It feels good.
Did you play a single-player level? Did you play multiplayer?
Oh, single-player. It was a single-player level. The weapons was cool. Like, there's a bow and arrow that it can take over and possess another body. You had different ammunition types. That wasn't in the demo, but he did show you on the keynote thing.
Okay.
And, like, you had this, like, if you press the left bumper, you throw this, like, blade, like this Troy blade thing, and it just instantly goes to their head. It doesn't always, like, chop their head off, but it's fun. And it just feels like a brilliant first-person shooter, you know? Like, it feels good.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. Rage, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Any questions?
From what you can tell, I mean, story-wise, does it seem like it's going to hold up?
It kind of seemed like a Borderlands kind of route, but I think a little bit more involved than Borderlands would take you.
Okay.
You know, so there would be I feel like there would be situations where in Half-Life 2, you know, where they lock you in a room or something.
Right.
Until the kind of cutscene finishes. I think there's going to be more of that, but in Borderlands it was just like press X to get quest. So it's like,
right.
I think of it a cross between Half-Life 2 and Borderlands, you know?
Okay.
The dialogue was brilliant. You know, the graphics were great. The character models were great. The guns felt good. It was good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Do you think it's going to be a potential game of the year?
I think for some outlets, yeah. I mean, it's tough, really, because Skyrim's coming out, and I think Skyrim's going to win game of the year for most people. It could take game of the year. You know,
okay. Somewhat.
The only thing that I think would put people off is the aesthetic. Like, you know, it is quite a barren wasteland.
Right, right.
And it's not, I mean, it is beautiful in a way, but it's not, you know.
It's ugly. It's an ugly beauty, basically.
Yeah, and okay. I think that would put people off. I mean, I don't particularly like the way Borderland looks sometimes. I think that's a bit boring, like the whole deserty stuff. So I'm not a big fan of it, but I played it and I was like, you know what, I don't care, it's great.
Now, I know they talked about, like, varied environments, that it wasn't all just in the desert. Did they elaborate on that?
Yeah, I was in some kind of, like, weird sewer thing, so I didn't see any desert at all, in my demo. So I can't really complain, but it was, like, barren and brown and horrible and, you know, not very fun.
Okay. So, well, let's move on to the next game.
Next one, Tekken. Like, I don't know what Tekken game it is, and it's like every fucking Tekken game you've ever played. The only reason we played it was that there's like a tournament, and if you win, you can enter like a competition where you win the sound system and TV that you just played it on, and it was in 3D.
Take it, didn't win.
It was like Stu. No, it was me and Stu, and Stu bet me because he just like mashed the controller with his foot. it's Tekken. Like, all whatever. Let's move on from that.
I don't think any of us are big fighter fans.
Nah, forget that game. Stu played Journey. I just watched it.
Is this the arcade game, the PSN game?
The people who made Flower.
Yes.
Right. It definitely looks more of a game than Flower. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, Flower is just, you know, I think he's a bit of a, you know, pretentious.
Right.
Claptrap nonsense. There definitely is more of a game in this. Like, you have to kind of build up your scarf by collecting weird cards that are flying in the air. And then the more your scarf is, the more, like, kind of you can jump. And the more you can jump, the more platforms you can reach, you know?
Okay.
But it was very, like, even Stu got a bit, like, bored of it. And
yeah, it doesn't sound all
well, I mean, I'm sure Stu would like it when he buys it and sits down with it and, like, you know, immerses himself in that.
Was it a pretty game?
Yeah, it was minimalist.
Oh, maybe Stu won't like it then. You never know.
Oh, he'll love it.
He can't look at the graphics.
Oh, he'll love it. He will.
All right, let's move on from Journey.
Anarchy Reigns, again, I only watched it because there's four spaces and I let kind of everybody else have a go.
Give me a quick overcap on this game. Is this the fighter?
Well, from what they played, it was like a deathmatch brawler, right?
Right.
And it stars the guy from Mad World on the Wii game. And it was like a Japanese, it's made by Platinum Games. And it was just like beat the shit out of each other. And there was like stats on there and it looked very boring. And all four of them said it was a bit shit.
Okay.
So, nothing excited about it. And then we went around the corner and we saw Ninja Gaiden 3.
Okay.
And I didn't like Ninja Gaiden 2 at all. Like, I thought it was terrible.
Okay.
I kind of liked 1, but like, I was a long time ago and
right.
We've come a long way. I was really impressed by Ninja Gaiden 3.
Really?
Really impressed. Like, it was on a PlayStation controller, so it was press square to win, right?
Press square to win.
And it wasn't hard at all, but it looked great. You know what I mean? Like, whatever I was doing, it was looking good.
I have heard they did casual it up a little bit to make it a little more friendly to newer players. Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the first thing I did was, like, it was like this weird kind of, you know, like a cutscene, but you could move situation.
Okay.
And I was walking towards this guy, and he was begging for me not to kill him. And he was like, no, man, don't do it. And, like, you would kind of, like, creep towards him, and he was like, no, please don't do it. You'd get a bit closer, and then you just brutally fucking murder him for no reason, you know. So there's no morals in this game. It's just stupid, and people are begging for their lives, and you can still just absolutely blitz them. And it just looks like you're doing awesome things. You know, you press square and triangle, and you hold it, and you just do amazing things, you know. And it's like, yeah, cool. So I enjoyed it. I was shocked that I enjoyed Ninja Gaiden 3. So we move on?
Let's move on.
It was a shocker. Anyway, Saints Row the Third, I jumped on that, and the character that I was playing had no top on, so she had her boobs out.
Okay.
And nice. Pixelated boobs. I got a chance to run around the streets, body slamming people into the pavement and posing. Brilliant fun. You know, I didn't really get up to much. I beat a policeman up with a massive giant purple dildo and hijacked some cars. So, thumbs up from me.
Well, there you go. Beat somebody with a giant purple dildo.
Yeah.
Gotta be thumbs up.
There was the insurance fraud, like, kind of side quest that was in Saints Row 2 that I was doing. But, you know, I can't really say much without playing the story mode. But
was this just like a free roam mode that you were playing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there was some side quests, but there's no story missions. So
okay.
Whatever. Is Chris still there? Is he dead?
I think he is dead, but he may not care about Saints Row the Third. That could be the problem.
I'm not really much on Saints Row to anything.
Okay, well, I mean, the next game, you probably don't care for anyway, but I had to charm my way into this game, right? So
you had to charm your way.
I did, right? So they closed for the day, right? They gone. And I said to the woman, I said, oh, can I jump on that one there? And she went, sorry, no, we closed. And I was like, do you know what I've been looking forward to all weekend? And she went, what?
Uh-uh.
I said, this game. All right. And she looked at me and she went, come on, then. All right. So I went on. And it kind of plays like Hot Pursuit. You know, the cars are really heavy.
Right.
And sluggish, but I kind of like that. It's arcadey. I don't think, you know, it's not great. Like, it's not like game of the year potential, Greg. So don't worry. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the best game ever, like Duke says we drive.
Oh, I'm not worried about it.
But, you know, I think it's fun. Like, you know, it's just kind of like a bit of a roller coaster. You just.
Did you get to any of the QT events?
No, I didn't. That's what I was disappointed about. I mean, there was a lot of, like, kind of avalanches going on when I was playing it.
Okay.
Which is fine, you know, and you don't, like, get. There's no, like, eight races. I mean, I was 105th, and I was trying to get to the. I think it says trying to get to 102nd by the end of this, like, section of the race. So you're racing throughout the whole game. It's like one long race.
Got it.
So, you know.
Well, it's kind of like the cannonball. You're going from one coast to
the other. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I played Joe Danger for a little bit. I didn't really get much of a taste for it, but, like, it's basically like Stuntman, but like on a 2D plane. And there is a level editor that I had a bit of quick play for. I was, like, skiing down a slope, and you could make a level editor. There's not really much to say, but it does seem like a lot of fun, you know? So, I thought it was good for a very short period of time. Silent Hill Downpour, very underwhelming. I couldn't see anything. I had no idea how to get my lighter out or anything. It was like, it was pitch black, and the other guy had the lighter out, and I tried to ask him, but he didn't really know how to do it. And yeah, it was just like, well, if this is trying to sell me the game, then sorry, I'm done. Yeah,
Silent Hill definitely has not had a good run of late.
No.
Okay.
Now, the next game is Skyrim.
Yes, let's talk Skyrim.
So, like, I mean, this is the next day. This is the second day.
Okay, second day. You're feeling fresh?
We got there early. We got in early because, you know, technically we had, like, press passes, but we're not really pressed, everybody, you know. We got a blog, but, so, but hey, you know, we covered it. That's why they let us in.
Sure. You abuse your privileges. That's good on you.
Like, I think they see that we actually cover it, you know, and talk about it and write about it and stuff and make a video about it. So I think it's Tom, the guy who sorts it out for us, and he says, like, yeah, you know, I saw you covering it. So
let's get on with it already. I'm dying to know. Skyrim.
So I was playing another game, which I'll talk about later, and then I came and met Stu. He was playing Skyrim, and there was one free, and I said to the guy, can I jump on that one? And he was like, yeah, all right. Because there was no queue at all, and I was playing it, and it feels very much like Fallout, you know, like I kind of knew my way around the controls because of Fallout. And the only difference is, like, your left trigger is your left hand, and your right trigger is your right hand.
Right.
The interface is super easy, like super easy to get used to. I got instantly, like, knew what to do. I didn't really customize my character because the guy said I only had 5 minutes, even though I had like 15. He lied to me. So I didn't really customize my character, but I wandered around, you know, Skyrim, and just kind of like burnt down some like deers and stuff. I saw some deers, and I put my magic burn spell, burnt them down. And you know, the interface is like great. You know what I mean? It's so simple, so cut down and trimmed, and I instantly just knew what to do, you know?
So let me ask you this question, Mike.
Yeah.
You're not a big fan of the swords and elves.
I know.
But
I think... Yeah, I think it's fine because I kind of think of it as like a Fallout, you know, like Fallout has kind of trained me in a way to play this game. So it's structured the same as Fallout. Therefore, I think I'd probably enjoy it a lot, you know, and it wouldn't really bother me too much about the swords and elves and stuff. I enjoy it. Stu said that he thinks, like, graphically it looks so much better. It's like, imagine, one of the best looking games in the world. To be honest, like, I think it is better looking than Fallout 3. You know,
okay.
New Vegas. I don't think it's a lot better looking. I don't think it's, like, a massive jump.
Okay.
I think it's definitely a step up, right? And I said this to Stu earlier, right? And I was, like, saying, oh, I don't think it's a... And he's like, I think you must be blind. It's like magical. So I might be like the only one who thinks this, but I wasn't that... Like, I looked
you weren't
at
that
it,
impressed.
I wasn't that impressed by the... It definitely looks better, and it looked good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, okay, so then now let's compare it up to Rage, because Rage, you said, is
no,
gorgeous.
No, near as right.
Okay.
No, near as good as it. But it looked good, you know, like, you could tell it was like a new engine, but it still kind of had all the tropes of the old engine, you know, some animation was a bit ropey, like, on the enemies, you know, like, the deer was trying to get up a hill, and he was like, oh, sorry, up, can't get up a hill, up, and then I'm up, Right, and then I burnt the fuckers to death.
What about conversations? Do they still – I mean, I know they said they were fixing them, but
– Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I played the whole game in third person.
Okay.
I even forgot that it was a first-person game. Right. That's how good the third-person view was.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Now, the animations of the character in third person, were they pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all fine. They're all fine.
Yeah, I remember in Oblivion when you went to third person, it was horrible.
Good. And, yeah. And Fallout as well. You just couldn't play that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I played the whole like demo in third person, then I swapped it into first person. I didn't like it, so I was like, oh, right,
okay.
I'll just play it in third person. The conversations were fine. Like, I mean, it's still the same. You know, they say something, and you just pick.
But does it like focus in on them? Similar to, you know,
how not as much. No, it seems to just kind of it's quite far back actually.
Okay.
But I didn't really like. I went to this blacksmith guy. And he was like, hey, do you want to make a weapon? I was like, not really. And he was like, here's all the stuff for free, and you can make your own weapon. I was like, well, that's awfully generous. Time to die! No. And I tried to look for a quest, and then the time ran out. But I think I'm going to be into it. And I think there's nothing to worry about with Skyrim, because, you know, like, it is the same formula. You know, it starts off, you come out of jail, and then you've got the whole world to yourself.
Okay.
And you know what they're, you know, I think they're going to, it's going to be fine. I still think on my prediction of, you know, it's going to have a lot of glitches and.
Right.
I think that's
all. It is a Bethesda game.
It's a new engine, but I still think it's all going to remain. So.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. I played Battlefield 3 as well.
Okay, let's talk about Battlefield 3, because I will say this. There have been a lot of videos that have popped up as the beta has started to go underway for the early adopters of Modern Warfare, Modern Combat. People are getting into the Battlefield 3 beta. Some videos coming out. Console version's not looking so great. At least that's what people are saying.
I thought that graphically it was fine. Obviously, not as good as the PC or whatever, but
right.
I thought.
Well,
it was good.
Here's what I'm hearing. It looks and feels very similar to Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'd say it looks a bit better, but you know, there's certainly a lot more things going on and like new gadgets and stuff. Like the one that I talked about on Veteran Gamers was like the. There's a new attachment that you can have, which is like a flashlight that you can attach to yourself.
Okay.
And it blinds the other character, which is a pain in the arse when they're using it on you. But it's really effective, you know, like you don't like it when it's on you, but when you're using it, it's cool.
Right.
The level I was playing was like, it started off, what?
You can wear a flashlight that blinds the other player?
Well, I mean, like only in the dark areas.
Okay. So... Yep. I don't have a whole lot of experience with military things, but generally, I would think that in the dark, you would want to kind of stay in the dark. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but look, I think the aim of this is to kind of blind the people, and when you go face to face with someone, it definitely like hinders you from seeing them and killing them.
Well, yeah. So in essence, it's you know, the flashlight's for night shooting.
Yeah, and. I mean, I suppose there is a bit of a glare in the day, but it was really effective because, like, basically the level was a park, and then it would go down into an underground train station, and that's where people were using it, and it was, like, pissing me off. I mean, the level seemed like a really straight level because then you get the underground train station, then you go back up, and then you go into, like, the kind of, I suppose, you know, like, the kind of train station entrance area, and then you go back outside. And it looks like a very narrow level, but there's a lot of kind of side pathways into like rooms and stuff.
Okay.
Because at one point, everybody was being bottlenecked. It was a multiplayer demo, and we was all being bottlenecked. And I was like, oh, I wonder if there's another way around. And there was, you know, and we was doing well. We had a kind of good team. I was talking to the people next to me, and we was all getting on and having a good time. But as far as Battlefield goes, I mean, it is more Battlefield. I could spawn on squads, so the squads are still there. The maps felt like Battlefield. The guns felt like Battlefield. It sounds like Battlefield. you know, all the interface and the kind of little flashes and, you know, tweaks and UI and everything are different, but it's Battlefield.
Okay.
And it was good. I enjoyed it. It was
okay.
Great.
Okay. I mean, it's good that you threw that last part in, because I have to admit, you're not exactly sounding, like, overly enthusiastic about it, but maybe that's just because, you know, you're trying to relay, more Battlefield.
It's more Battlefield. I mean, it's good. Like, okay. I enjoy Battlefield. I'm still worried about the single-player campaign, because I think...
I'm right there with you.
I don't think it's going to be as exciting as exhilarating as a Modern Warfare, which is fine, but I think it will get shot down for that.
Well, yeah. Considering they haven't... I mean, they still have not talked about it at all. It is concerning.
I mean,
it definitely is concerning.
Modern Warfare campaign, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster ride, and it's like going to be just absolutely up to 11 madness. And Battlefield is going to be slow, you know?
Right.
And which is good, which is fine, but Battlefield Bad Company 2 single player was a bit boring. I think it's going to get knocked down for it. I think it still sell well because multiplayer seems to be where it's at with Battlefield.
Well, let's press on. Let's press on to the next game.
Yes. Ghost Recon Future Warfare. Kind of imagine like a futuristic kind of army game with Gears of War mechanics, which is basically what it is. A very good looking game. It feels good. All Grawl fans should be excited for this.
I am. Big excitement going on.
I mean,
on.
Like, you like Gears of War, you like Ghost Recon, Greg, and I think Chris is going to be in the same boat as well. You guys are going to love it. You know,
go ahead, Chris.
Is it a third person shooter, or were you in first person perspective?
Third. I was in third.
Okay.
I mean, imagine Gears of War, pretty much, but military. And
well, the only reason I ask is because there was, like, a year ago or so, it sounded like they were going to do, like, a fast paced first person shooter kind of thing, and I was a little worried about that.
No, it was third. It was third person, definitely. And I mean, it was Gears of War, pretty much, but military. That's the best way of explaining it. And like, they had some interesting things going on with the UI, like the interface and stuff. So obviously,
did you get a chance to check out the gunsmith?
No, not at all. This is like no connecting.
Okay.
But like the UI and the interface when you're playing the game is like there's loads of crazy lights, like, kind of glowing outside of the gun, and there's these massive like markers in the sky. So like, say if the checkpoint's behind some buildings, you just look up at the sky and there's like a huge kind of marker in the sky that's saying like your objectives in like a box and all this. So they're doing some weird stuff with the interface, but it was really cool. Like, it looks slick, you know.
Right.
Just how it looks, you know, how Ubisoft are like in Splinter Cell Conviction, how like it just looks cool the way they do it. It just looks so like new and weird. And I really liked it. I thought it was fun. Ghost Recon fans, Rainbow Six fans, Gears of War fans, you're going to love it.
Okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
Right. Resistance 3, I played that. I mean, it's out. It's a very average first-person shooter. That's it. Like, I think the aliens look stupid. Binary Domain, which is Gears of War Japan. The only interesting thing is this. I mean, that's it, right? But the one interesting thing is you can pick your squad before each mission. Kind of like Mass Effect, yeah? You can pick a squad.
Right.
And they have different bits of dialogue. So I picked a really strong guy and a sexy-looking woman. And the strong guy was like, man, check out her ass. And she was like, how dare you? And you could respond negatively or positively. And if you was like, yeah, her ass is fine, man, the big guy would like you, but the woman wouldn't like you. Oh, and obviously if you said the other thing, like, hey, man, she's not an object, you should respect her, the woman would like you, but the big guy wouldn't, right? And I have no idea how that affects the game at all, right? I'm guessing, like, if the more they like you, the better they are at fighting shit.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think it affects, like, the story. It would be interesting if it did, you know what I mean? That would be cool.
Right,
But as far as the game plays, it's Gears of War Japan, and it was fun. You know, it was fine.
Okay.
It was all right. It was just a bit like, and the enemy looked like Terminators.
Okay.
It looked like a cross between Terminators and that animated CGI film Robots. Kind of cartoony robots. You know, so it was like, oh, okay. Inversion, which is another third-person shooter where you could fuck around with the gravity, you can lift them up in the air and slam them in the ground. It was very underwhelming. It needs a lot of work. Blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. It's going to be
okay. All right.
Batman Arkham City. It's more Batman. Catwoman has got a visible panty line. That was pointed out by Soup Dragon Dan, not me. You can see her pants.
Okay.
It was kind of cool to watch her fight because she's got new animation.
Different moves, yeah.
Yeah. More Batman. Not a great demo because it was just a lot of fighting, but there was, when you play as Batman, you do get to glide over the city, right? And that was like, whoa, this is so much bigger than, you know, Arkham.
Out of curiosity, and I it may not have been in the demo because you were just saying it was just a lot of fighting. One of the things I've heard in Batman, there's going to be kind of the detective mode is a lot more, you're going to be using it actually to solve riddles and situations in a lot of different ways, almost like CSI kind of ways.
Well, there's only one bit where, like, I was skipping the cutscenes because they didn't really give you a lot of time with it.
Okay.
Because there was, like, letting loads of people play it, and then you had, like, 10 minutes, and then they would kick you off.
Right.
So I was skipping quite a lot of cutscenes, which is, I usually never do. And I must have, like, there must have been, like, someone shooting in, like, use like a church or something.
Right.
Someone shot through a glass, and then you had to work out in detective mode where the glass entry point was and where it kind of finished. And I found out where it came
Excellent.
In, but
okay.
I couldn't find, and that was through detective mode, you know?
Okay.
And there's like a, in kind of like an invisible square in that scene, if you will. And if you come out of the scene, it would jump out of detective mode, but you can still switch detective mode on when you're trying to fight or whatever. So,
okay. And
to me, detective mode looked pretty similar. You know, the whole game looked similar, you know, it's just more good shit. And it was cool. It was cool to be in a city, you know, like as Batman. Yeah. It was like, whoa. So that was great. Counter-Strike, I only watched this, Global Offensive. Counter-Strike had a massive, massive crowd around it.
I bet.
Both days. People were clapping. People were cheering. It looks like Counter-Strike, maybe a little bit not like cleaner, but not a lot different. Imagine how Left 4 Dead plays, you know what I mean? Like a
bar
game on console. It was that. It was that, but Counter-Strike, it's going to be pretty big. I think this game is going to sell very well.
Now, this is going to be an arcade download title, if I'm not mistaken, for both the PSN and the Xbox.
Yeah, and it's going to sell well. It's going to sell well, definitely. I watched Mass Effect 3. Like, I didn't play it. I watched it. It's more Mass Effect 3 with the melee combat. It looks a bit better, more Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
There's not much to say. And I played a PC game, which was apparently free, but it was absolutely bollocks. It was free for 30 days. It was called World of Tanks. There's going to be a video going up on the Veteran Gamers YouTube, Greg, of me commenting while I'm playing this game. And I didn't realize it was an MMO, right? And so I played it, and I was shooting my own tank. So I was like, I don't like that tank. I'm going to shoot it. And then it blocked me off, and I was like, man, this like AI is really cool. Like, it's like kind of being a dick. And then like the guy was like, oh, it's an MMO. Like, you know, I was like, oh. So like, that guy's really pissed off at me because I knocked out his suspension, and he can't drive anymore. And it was pretty, I suppose. If you love tanks, Greg, if you're a tank fan, World of Tanks is definitely the game of you.
It sounds like it should be the perfect
tank. Yeah, the amount of like stuff you can customize your tank with is just unbelievable. And I was like, I don't care. I just want a tank. It was just tank deathmatch. That's all it was.
Okay. So. Tank deathmatch. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a tank lover.
Tank lovers, man. And they was giving the game away for free because they was like, it's a free game. It's a free game. It was like,
No, it's not.
I've got a copy right here, actually. I'm touching them on.
Yeah. Now, we're at the end of your list. However,
there were
a few games I asked you, you know, were there any you couldn't play, but you wanted to play. Maybe you saw, you know, glimpses of them. You know, I know we already talked about Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Awesomenauts.
Awesomenauts was an Xbox Live arcade game that was kind of like a 2D kind of brawler or something.
Okay.
Or I don't know what it was, but it looked really cool. It looked awesome, nuts. Ha 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 ha. But Fletch played it, who came with us. And
it looked awesome, not.
Yeah. Lol. He said it was great. He really enjoyed it. But he really enjoyed Bastion. And his game of the show was Bastion. I said, you can play that at home. But you wasted a lot of money coming here.
Yeah.
But like he said, it was really good, and it did look good. But I just didn't play it, and it wasn't busy or anything. I just kind of didn't hang around. I didn't play Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Okay.
Mainly because it was a multiplayer demo, and I'm not really interested in the multiplayer demo.
Okay. How did it look? I mean,
it looked
as good as always.
Yeah, it looks good. And Modern Warfare 3. I mean, I wasn't that bothered about it, but like, I suppose if you twist my arm, it would have been nice to play it.
Now,
but
out of curiosity, so
It was fucking huge. That Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3 was so big. The areas were so big. Like, they just took up like two gigantic spaces.
So let me ask you this. Compare, as you're looking at Modern Warfare 3 and looking at Battlefield 3, how do they compare graphically?
Well, Modern Warfare obviously looks a lot smoother and like a bit cleaner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's like a certain like grit, I suppose, and a bit of noise to Battlefield. But I don't know what it has, Battlefield. I don't know why I don't know what it is about Battlefield. But it still kind of feels great, you know what I mean? I don't know why, but yeah, I mean, look at them. Modern Warfare probably looks better, but Battlefield still plays better or differently.
Okay.
I mean, you play Call of Duty and Battlefield straight after each other. They play so differently, you know what I mean?
They
feel different. They're like, Battlefield's such, like, you feel a little bit slower. You feel like an actual person. Whereas in Call of Duty, you feel like a fucking marathon runner.
Yeah.
You know? You feel like Rambo or something. So, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, real fast.
I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, I know. Real fast, and we'll let you catch a break. Game of the show for you. Was it Rage?
I would say Rage, followed, I don't know, closely by... It's tough. Like, I did like Skyrim. I thought Skyrim was good, you know?
I was just going to say, you're not going to say Skyrim, are you?
Well, I mean, Stu loved Skyrim. He obviously said that. But Saints Row the Third was fun, you know? Like, there's a ton of good games, but...
It's hard to go wrong with Purple Dildos.
Yeah, but Rage is the one that I was like, man, because I was a bit doubtful. I was like, well, maybe. But yeah, it's good. It's good.
Rage, and then surprise of the show?
Ninja Gaiden 3. Like, if you'd have told me that I would have liked that game or care about it, I would have gone, get out of here, but... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I know we just picked your brain completely and you are
spent. Yeah, I am. Sorry, everybody who's listening, sorry I've been talking so much. Sorry.
I think they actually are all probably very happy to hear the report card back from Eurogamer. So that's it. We'll take our show break now. And when we come back from it, Chris and I will spend most of the time talking.
Yeah, I can put my feet up.
Put your feet up.
I'll read you a few.
Relax a little. When we come back, we will do the question of the week and we'll wrap things up.
Life's funny, the way it throws stuff at you. Just when you think you've got it made and everything's just hunky-dory, something happens. You kind of have to roll with it. But all around the world, kids are dealt some pretty rough cards from time to time, and they can't just roll with it. Cancer doesn't just up and go away. Serious injuries don't just heal themselves. Fortunately, when things get serious for kids, there's a Children's Miracle Network hospital waiting to help. The third annual Extra Life 24-hour video game marathon provides direct support for the Children's Miracle Network Hospital in your town. And we need your help to ensure local kids have the best care and equipment standing by, just in case life throws itself in harm's way.
Visit tinyurl.com/VGHubTeam2011 to find out how you can help make a difference by sponsoring or joining your friends at the sites and shows of VGHub.net in this October's Extra Life Marathon. Thank you.
Play games, your kids.
All right, we are back from the break, and time to dive into that community mailbag. So, question for the week was basically pay for weapon skins or character skins. Are you for it? Are you against it? Have you ever bought one? So, you know, that's what we kind of threw out to the community, and let's kind of roundtable it up real fast. I mean, I personally, I don't know that I've ever done an in-game weapon skin or a character outfit. But I freely admit, I have bought like an avatar item. I am one of those offenders. I can't say I'm like totally against it.
Why, Greg? Why have you bought an avatar item?
Because it was a Gears of War Lancer.
What is wrong with you?
Gears of War Lancer.
So what?
Gears of War Lancer.
Avatar item.
Gears of War Lancer.
If you look up the word, if you look up the word useless in the dictionary,
no, it's completely useless. You know what?
See avatar items.
Completely useless. I know. But you know what? You had the points. I had the points sitting there, and I was just like, eh. So I'm not terribly bothered by this one way or another. I don't know that I care if it's on a disc or not on a disc. It just really doesn't bother me that much. I know developers are going to try and make their money one way or another. So to me, at the end of the day, whether it's on the disc or not on the disc, or you know, something I have to download and they're going to charge me extra for it, I just have kind of come to expect it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's a sad statement on gaming as it is, but. You know,
Street Fighter, Capcom games are usually like Street Fighter games and shit. Like they're crazy on it.
Yeah, buy a costume. So, Mike, I'm assuming you have not.
I have never bought a skin for a gun, or like other than like unlocking them in a game. I don't mind unlocking them in the game, you know.
Right.
But I don't really go for them either. Like I don't really care what my gun looks like.
As long as it shoots.
I've never really bought any custom like clothes or skins. Like again, like I've got the Cole kind of football outfit in Gears 3 because I played the beta and won so many games.
Right.
But you know, I kind of did that because it was the beta, and you know, there's no achievements, so I might as well go for something.
Yeah. By the way, I missed that by one.
Oh no! Oh damn.
All right, so Chris, what about you? I'm assuming I know your response, but let's find out for sure.
Well, I'm not going to buy them. I'm not bothered that they're in there if other people want to buy them. At least as far as weapon skins and other things that have only visual effects on the game. I don't like when there's the possibility of buying a high-level weapon early.
Right.
So I think it was World at War. When World at War first came out, if you pre-ordered it from GameStop, you could get the level 65 gun like from the very start.
Right. And I want to say GameStop did that with Battlefield as well. Like you had access to certain weapons early in multiplayer.
Probably.
Yeah, I agree. When it's balancing issues that come into play, that you can buy your way into a better weapon. That is a little bothersome.
Yeah, I don't care for that. So I'm not going to pay for the weapon skins, but if other people want to, that's their business. Okay. And I'm not going to pay for avatar items either.
Oh, you will.
No.
All right.
Well, I guess in a way I do, because I buy games that unlock avatar items, so there's sort of an indirect thing there, but meh.
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 What about the community? Let's dive into the forums and find out what they had to say. Chris, why don't you take the first few?
I'll do that. Shinyverse says, still like the Avatar Kinect videos. Works pretty well. So there's one vote for you, Greg.
Woohoo!
Although I have to say, this is CP talking now. Your voice is too deep for your avatar.
Oh, you know what?
You need, like, your avatar needs to look more macho. I don't know.
Actually, you know what I need to do? I need to be able to buy a jack-in-the-box head for my avatar, because I've come to the conclusion when I hear myself back, I sound just like Jack from the jack-in-the-box commercials.
Yeah?
Yeah. I can sell you a burger right on the Avatar Kinect.
I believe it.
Anyway.
Right. Back to the community response. As far as the question of the week goes, I'm not paying for anything extra that I don't have to. T-O-O. No weapon skins for me, even if they are included for free as a bonus for pre-ordering. There's only a 50% chance that I'll bother to download them. I think I got a pre-order code for something with Gears. This is CP talking again. I got a pre-order code for something with Gears 3 from Amazon, and I redeemed it, but I have no idea what it gave me.
It's the Savage Cantar, or Cantus.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Savage. Anyway. Characters, weapons, and clothes may not look as good as other people's, but I'll still be able to finish the game just like anyone who paid extra for that stuff. Exactly. There you have it. Thank you very much for your poignant feedback. I do have to say, though,
go ahead.
the rainbow Lancer that you can unlock looks pretty cool. It's like the Lancer has like that oil paint job on it, so it changes based on the light.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, by the way, the Savage Cantus character skin, if you do that in multiplayer and then do the beatdown where it will allow you to do the beatdown where you rip the guy's arm off.
Ah.
And you'll get a 50 gamer score achievement for that.
Really?
Yes. Just thought I'd let you know.
That's like one of the beatdowns that you can do, right? You have to do all of the beatdowns, and that's one of them.
I don't know if you have to do all of them or not. I got that achievement, and it happened when I was ripping the dude's arm off. So I haven't done that many beatdowns.
50 gamer score might drag me into multiplayer early.
Next forum response. Let's go.
Anyway, sorry. Spitfire Ian says it will need to be a really special game for me to. Oh God. Hold on. Okay.
Sounds like you did a line of coke.
I may have. It will need to be a really special game to make me part with my dosh for trivial stuff like weapon skins, etc. Succinct. To the point, well stated, a man after my own heart. Stickman says, I agree, I won't pay for weapons, skins, or avatar clothes. Free, I might use them. I still have a Beatles shirt avatar code just sitting next to the Xbox that I don't care about. So if you want a free Beatles shirt for your Xbox, break into Stickman's house. It's sitting next to the Xbox. Don't take anything else, just that.
This is great.
Let's see. Mark 035 says, no, never, not a chance. Pay more money just for your video game character or weapon to look better or different. You would have to be a monumental fool. It's not like we don't already pay a fortune for the game, Xbox Live, and now online passes. Yes. They're trying to separate us from our cash.
They are indeed.
And since we're talking about Gears of War 3, the appropriately named Locust Meat says, I have three Gears of War 3 unlocks, but one carried over from Gears of War 2, which came with the game. Golden Lancer, never use it. Second is a silver Retro Lancer, or something that popped up when I ran the game for the first time, and there's something else. I think one of them had something to do with playing the first Gears of War. I think more and more games are going to charge for early unlocks and bonus items, as there is a market for it. Well, that's true. People for years have been purchasing black market items, game gold, etc. for MMOs, and the console market just sees a chance at more revenue. It's not for me, but I don't mind everyone else buying their kit. Nice to have a choice. And the game is expensive added to the membership, but it's still cheaper than an evening at the pub.
Fair, fair.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. $60, I could have several.
That's quite an evening at the pub.
I could drink. I could get more beers than I can drink for $60. Anyway, Mark 035's replies. Not here. It isn't. Cost of a game equals about 40 to 45 beers, enough to kill me. Which is something the wife comes close to doing every time she finds a new game in the house. So well said, Mark. So I put up a quick little modifier here.
Yes, you did.
So everyone seems to say, "Well, no, I don't like him." But do you think that it cheapens the experience by having people buy things that they can unlock otherwise? And Shinyverse replied, no, I don't believe they belong in the game. And yes, I think it cheapens the experience when someone can purchase unlockables. But honestly, how can you blame a developer? There's an ask for every seat. I'm not sure what that means. Meaning that people – oh, well, and this is what it means. Meaning that people will buy anything. Fair enough. So there's an ask for every seat means people will buy anything. Very well. So if there's a market for it, why not sell it, especially since developers are losing money with used games? They will try to come up with new ways to make money. This sort of thing is only to become more common, and I think it stinks.
There you go. Okay. Stinks. Well, Twister65 said, I could care less about buying weapon skins. I don't mind getting free ones with pre-orders and other DLC, though. I don't think it cheapens the experience. All it does is show who has more money than common sense. Apparently, I'm definitely in the minority when it comes to this. And that's okay. I don't mind. Marcanic said, the only time I get these sort of things are when they are given away as pre-order bonuses or store exclusives. I very rarely buy them. The only time I've bought something like this was in Burnout Paradise. I was a year or so late getting this, and we used to play quite regularly on Friday nights, so I bought the Unlock All Cars pack. That's the nearest I've come to buying player or weapon skin packs. And no way was the fish that big. He's referring to my video. Because when I do the Avatar Connect, yeah, my hands look like puppet hands, but
I once caught a fish this big.
So yeah, that's the forum response. So I think the consensus is no to buying weapon skins and character skins, and don't mind it if it's free, but won't pay for it on a whole.
If it's free or it comes with a pre-order, that's fine, I guess. Yeah.
David Brown sent us an email. Yeah, good old David the Alien says, good evening. Been playing a whole lot of F1 2011 this week. In fact, besides maybe 10 minutes here or there on Defense Grid, it's all I've been playing.
That is true. I can verify that.
Yeah, he has been on F1 a lot. So many differences compared to last year's installment and well worth the purchase for fans of the series. Just had Playdate this past Saturday to kick it off, which was great and a fantastic turnout, so much so that I have set up another Playdate this coming Saturday. It's foreshadowing for when we talk about Playdates. F1 2011 championship details are up with Marcanix hosting it and a little help from myself. Check the forums and or listen to this podcast later. Signing up for this Sunday, October 1st. Shout out to Marcanix. Just been playing a ton of the co-op championship, and it's been an utter blast. Thank you. That's about it. Have a fantastic show, gents. Oh, and just one more thing. Love the Google Calendar addition to Gate. Just fantastic, David the Alien.
Google Calendar.
Can't go wrong with a little Google Calendar.
I always use Google Calendar.
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
Mark sent us an email.
Mark did send us an email.
Yes.
A very big email, but let's just crack on.
Because you haven't been talking enough. We saved this for you.
And tiredness has really hit me in the last, 5 minutes. It's just, you know when it hits you and you're like, whoa.
I know. Fight through it, Mike. Fight through it. We're almost there.
Okay, so Mark sent us an email and he says, good evening, gents. I have a confession to make. I like men. No, I picked up Gears 3 midweek and played the first two acts, but haven't touched it since. Why, you ask? No, but you're going to tell us anyway. It's simple. F1 2011 is freaking awesome. The best analogy I can use, it's the Assassin's Creed games. The first was good, but had a few niggles. But the second game, OMG, what an improvement. They have obviously included all of this season's cars and tracks, including the new DRS and KERS systems. The DRS and KERS work a treat and really switch the game around, give it more of a chance to overtake on long straights. No idea what you're talking about. The best addition is the co-op career mode. This is just fantastic. You both sign for the same team and work together to make sure that your constructor team wins, but whilst also having a bit of rivalry with each other going for the driver's win. I have done my first co-op career with David the Alien using mid-spec Renault Lotus cars on intermediate AI difficulty, and it's been a real blast. We started Friday night and hammered it way into the early hours, and then we were on it nearly all day and night Saturday, Sunday night, and then again last night and finished it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was such a close championship. We kept taking the lead alternately each race. In one race, Turkey, I think it was, on the last lap, we were side by side, neck and neck, all the way around. It was so exciting and tense trying to win whilst not taking each other out. David managed to pit me to the line, by 0.067 seconds. In true dramatic start, the championship came down to the last race. David was 4 points in front, and boy was it dramatic. On the first lap, David spun and clipped my front wing, causing him to be in last place and me to have a little struggle on corners. So I'm on the edge of my seat here, Greg.
I know. I feel like I'm reading a sports page recap. Know.
I managed to get into the lead by lap 6, and David was moving up the field big style and worked his way up from 24th to 12th. Then disaster struck me as I was overtaking one of the AI drivers on the finish straight with one of my DRS wing open when the Muppet moved left into my path. Like, I think the Muppet, he means the AI
yes.
driver. The Muppet moved into my path, and then the race director gives me a frickin' 10-second penalty for causing an accident.
Yeah, mechanics, it was all your fault.
I was fuming. I now have to finish at least 10 seconds in front of David. A big tall order, as David is very good. David was catching me by 2 seconds a lap, and the second to last lap, he was 11 seconds behind. I thought that was it, game over. But 4 turns from the finish, I heard David let out a cry. He spun out. This is exciting stuff. Oh, this is like a book. He had spun out. He was pushing so hard. I managed to win the championship by 1 second and 3 points. We're going to do another championship in McLaren on professional difficulty. So we'll update you on due course. The next chapter, Greg.
Yeah, the next chapter coming.
Sorry for the long story there, but I just really wanted to tell you as it was such an exciting experience. And oh, don't forget, everybody, we're taking names for this year's F1 Championship. So visit the forums and sign up before 6 p.m. Saturday, UK time, because we'll be picking teams at random. Well, champs, now that I've bored you with my F1 2011 experience, I bid you a good night, Mark. P.S. Really? Thanks, Chris, for the message saying David and I looked adorable in our racing suits partied up together. Duke's Gaff even joined our XBLA party 20 minutes earlier to say the same thing. Ruffle. Oh, shit, he says more. Hey, guys, Mark here again. I nearly forgot one important thing. Happy birthday for Thursday, Greg. Smiley face.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that glowing recap of that dramatic finish.
I felt like I was listening to ESPN radio there for a minute.
Tune in next week when we cover the next exciting race. So F1 2011, apparently pretty good racing game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah,
I mean,
allegedly.
My mate, he loves F1 2010, and he's like excited for 11.
Apparently,
but, like, he wants to play the co-op career like this, basically. Yeah. But he's really good at it, and I'm not so good at it. So we'll see how we get on. But I'm not. I told him today, actually. I said I'm not getting it soon because there's a shit ton of games that I care about coming out soon. So,
oh, you too could have that experience.
Oh yeah.
Down
or I could just
second.
Read the next chapter and just relive it through Mark's words.
Well, thank you, Mark and David, for the recap. It was good. It was dramatic. I mean, you know.
Gripping.
Gripping. Speaking of gripping, let's talk about the question for next show. And this is kind of one of the things that kind of struck me as I was playing through Gears of War, and especially talking to you, Chris. So what difficulty level do you prefer to play on? And probably more importantly to the question, are you playing on said difficulties only because it's an achievement and or trophy that you're going to get because of that difficulty level?
This should spur up some good emails and stuff. So email the show and stuff.
Yes, email the show and stuff. Chris.
Greg.
Take us in the home stretch.
Community play dates. Oh, I'm supposed to talk about them. I'm sorry. Saturday at 8 p.m. in the UK, F1 2011. If you found the previous tale of bumper-to-bumper racing and spinning and spitting to be exciting, then join in Saturday at 8 p.m. in the UK time for your own story, and then you can tell us all about it. And then Sunday, with the Veteran Gamers, 6 p.m. in the UK, Gears of War 3, that is the play date with the Veteran Gamers. Be there or don't or be don't. There. Happy birthday this week to Mark JZ12, Firefly 131, Bungle 77, and our very own Greg DeLacy. Happy birthday, Greg.
Thank you, folks.
And welcome to the new members, Peter Red Dog, Julian Kim, and an ironic name, Tofu Predator.
I like that.
So, Greg, your birthday's coming up. What are you doing?
Working.
Nice.
Working. Yeah.
Nice.
Nothing too exciting going on for the birthday, but ironically, my anniversary is just around the corner in October, and we have a nice getaway plan to go down to Monterey.
How many years have you been to the lovely Sydney?
Just three. You should take some insight if you've taken my son's birthday and our anniversary. Yeah. It all comes together. There was a shotgun involved. Threats were made. I proposed.
Did you ask that immortal question? You're not, are you? You're not pregnant, are you? Oh, God.
It didn't come out quite that way.
We better get this done then before we sin.
Hey, iTunes reviews. We got one.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Australia, no less.
Australia.
Pizza. Yep. He sent us in a nice podcast review. Five stars. Says, great podcast. Informed gaming news and varied opinions from a group of relatable characters from the UK and the US. This podcast has become required listening for this gamer. I'm already looking forward to the next episode. However, after this episode, he could change that to one star and say not such glowing things about us.
We say that every week, and they always come back.
Once we have to keep the level up, Chris. Got to keep it up. Mm-hmm. So I will
Shocking
say this.
News, Greg. News just in. EA announces Shank 2.
Yeah, are you kidding me? See? Look at that. Informing, even as we're closing shop. Shank 2. Never thought that would come through. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't do very well, did it, Shank, at all?
No, not really.
Well.
But hey, if you're going to email the show, Mike, where would they email the show?
They would email the show. It's been a while. There we go. Email the show, ocpodcast@gmail.com, Greg. So they would type in the 2 thing, unless they want to CC us in an email for some reason, to ocpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. What difficulty you play other games on? Do you play it on easy because you're a wuss? Do you play it on mega, mega hard because you want those achievements that mean nothing? What do you do?
What do you do indeed? Chris, if they're going to tweet us, what would that Twitter address be?
They should tweet to @OC_podcast. In fact, they should all do that because we got how many tweets this week? None.
Now, we had a lot of mentions, though. I would like to praise our listeners. We had a lot of people mentioning the podcast, retweeting us. It was awesome to see. So thank you to all that do that. And by all means, keep it up. Because, hey, the more people that hear us, the more fun it is.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah. And, in fact, while you're retweeting, you should probably pop on over to iTunes or dare say Zune Social if you have that. And leave us a review. You know,
please.
Canada, I know we've got new Canadian listeners. Y'all best be getting up there. You like that, y'all?
I don't believe the Canadians know what y'all best means.
No, they probably don't. But
Greg meant to say was you ought to.
Yes.
If you leave an iTunes review on the Canada iTunes, you get a free hockey stick. And all that.
Bottle of maple syrup.
Yes.
And a puck.
And a puck.
Yeah.
All right. We are at that point, though. It's time. Shout-outs. Chris, go.
I'll go first. I'm going to shout-out Marcanix for the help with some Dirt 3. I'm going to shout-out Skulldurgerer. I was working through the Gears 3 campaign, and I all of a sudden noticed that one of the AI characters was being exceptionally helpful. And then I finished out that particular chapter and noticed that it was Skullduggerer. So thanks for the help.
Yeah, and so funny thing about that. The same thing happened to me. I'll talk about that in a second. But it's eerie how they just can pop in and just suddenly take over a character, and you have no idea they've come into your game.
Well, you get the little thing in the bottom that says, stupid son of a bitch. You get the little thing
in the bottom. It says that at the bottom. Stupid son of a bitch.
It says that so-and-so joined. But if you're not paying attention, which I never am, you'll miss that.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly. Anything else, Chris?
And finally, shout out David the Alien. He put some fundage in the Gaming for the Elderly Prize fund. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
And I'll pass it to this exceptionally long list, Greg DeLacy.
Okay. Yeah, I do have quite a long list to shout out. So I'm going to – a big shout out to Headcase with the 360 Gamercast. A little cross-pollination love.
They were at Eurogamer, by the way, 360 Gamercast. Like, one of the guys from their Pitbull Peebs, his name is.
Okay.
He's on my friends list, and he tweeted at me, I'm sure he did, or he sent me a message over Xbox saying, you're going to Eurogamer, and...
And you ignored him?
I didn't meet him, though, but I think I saw the other guy, Webby, is it? Sorry.
It's okay.
I think I saw
him. You're now borderlining on Skullduggerer's tiredness at this point. I expect you at any point to just go quiet and then shout out Battlefield 3.
I'm so tired. But, like, I think I know what that Webby looks like, I think. And he was quite – it's like a tall guy, I think. And he was surrounded by some people with 360 gamers. But I didn't really know if, like, what I should do, if I should go up on. Okay.
It's okay.
But Headcase, I know who that guy is.
All right. Peter G73.
Holly Wally, because he hates Heavy Rain. That's why I like him.
Mike, just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. A big shout out to Play and Skill, because he was the guy that jumped into my campaign mode unannounced, but yet was quite helpful. Yeah, we got through it, and I actually sent him a message saying, at the time, I didn't even have my headset on or anything. It wasn't near me, but he was totally cool.
Fuck you, fucking antisocial bastard.
No, just a real – it's cool. So, yeah. And a big shout out to Mr. Duke Scoth, the French, Italian, Mexican bastard. Love you, Duke. Chipper Cypher and D-Cell Battery and Shinyverse. Big shout out to Shinyverse. New member and already participating in a lot of the conversations. So just wanted to give him a shout out. And Mr. CPM 1376, shout out to you for the donation on my Extra Life. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yes. And, I'm going to take a moment. If you are thinking about donating to somebody in Extra Life, make sure it's somebody that's working for it. Make sure that they have approached you or they're putting forth an effort to raise money for the charity. A big shout out to my wife. Happy anniversary. And happy birthday to my sister and nephew. Lots of birthdays going on.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's it, Mike. Take us home.
Shout out to everyone who I met at Eurogamer. Which includes Chris MJW, GH Rocker, who's tiny, Bungo the Sane, who's crazy, Soup Dragon Dan, who's big and it looks like he's gonna kill me, but he's not, he's a super nice guy. Skulldugger, who's Skull. Crazy, guy who's he kind of seems shy, and I says, you're quite a shy guy, and he's like, no, I could talk as much as Stu, and I said, please don't. Fletch, Lewis, both very cool lads. I should talk about this. I got a free on live console, Greg.
Oh, really?
I did.
I believe Rich got one as well, because I saw he's signed up for on live in the UK.
You can sign up. You can sign up on the spot, and then you get a free console. And then the next day, Lewis and Fletch went to get one, right?
Yeah.
And Lewis got the last one, and Fletch didn't get one. And then we were sitting in McDonald's later, and you know what I did?
You gave him it.
I gave him mine, because you know why?
you're not going to play on live.
I don't give a fuck about it. So, and I was I'm so sure that Microsoft or Sony are going to come up with an alternative version that's going to absolutely shit all over that. So I'm not worried. She was like, "Hey man, in 5 years you'll regret that, you know." I was like, "No, well, not when Microsoft released the Xbox streaming box." Sorry, I won't give a fuck. Yeah, shout out to the likely lad, Steve. He came up to us, me and Stu, and said, "Hey, I'll listen to you guys." And he was nice. And Matt and Darren from Midlife Gamer, who raised $2,000 worth of stuff. They had, like, you won this raffle, Greg, and you went up, and they had a whole table full of games, like a Pip-Boy, an arcade stick, and, below the table, there was bags, and they had, like, about 4 or 5 games in them, and you could just pick a bag. Like, you have no idea how much stuff there was, right? It was just loads and loads, and, you know, Darren was saying, like, don't worry, like, everybody's going to win something. So, obviously, I won, like, a bag of games. I got Dragon Age 2, Monopoly Streets, which I'm genuinely pleased with, because I was thinking about buying that game, right? And that's the whole reason I picked that bag. I got NBA Live 10, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I got Shift 2. I don't know what else I got. I got something else, I think. Bongo the Sane won shit loads of stuff. He went up 7 times. He went up so much that he got bored, and he started getting... Like, there was a Rockstar t-shirt, and I says, get me that, but he didn't get it, mate, then, because he forgot. Yeah. But, like, he was so put, like, he got an arcade stick, he got an online console, right? He got a ton of games, loads of stuff, he got loads of stuff. So, a massive shout out to Matt and Darren from Midlife Gamer. I think they were so nice as well, that I introduced myself to them, and they knew who me and Stu were. I didn't really expect them to, but they did, and they were so cool, so excellent. God bless them. I really think that was so nice. And everybody, it was a big crowd. It was all Midlife Gamers listeners. And they was really friendly. Like, everybody was really nice, you know. So, it was good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Mike.
And Greg.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my friend.
I need to get your address.
I don't need any surprises in the middle of the night. I know you were thinking we
could... Woo-hoo-hoo, naked Mike!
I will get you my address. In the meantime, Mike, I've got good news for you.
What?
You get to go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's it, folks. We're done. We're out of here.
That's it, man. Go away.
Bye-bye.
I'll get it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very nice, man.
It's good. I like when the people that you think are going to be nice turn out to be nice. Like they come across, like you see them acting, whatever, and you're like, I bet that person's really nice.
He is, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, they totally are. Unlike Mel Gibson, for the years, always thought, I bet that dude is just a nice guy. Now, no, not so much.
No.
It's a
Get up, stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up, ball. You're right.
All right. I was downloading every demo on the friggin' XBLA, just looking for something. All right, let's go.
Was that why you were waiting for Gears of War to get to you?
Yeah, and while I was waiting for, room in lobbies.
Ah. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
You guys good?
Yep.
All right.
Far from it.
Is that correct?
Yes. No.
Boop.
What?
All right, you son of a bitch.
You have chosen bisexual house share. Is that correct? Boop. Yes. Go on, Greg. Are you ready?
Thanks.
Now.
You ever notice that on the show Glee, the cheerleaders wear their cheerleading uniforms like every day to school?
Love that.
It's kind of weird to me.
It's totally weird, but I still feel like a dirty old man. But I like it.
Sorry, the dog wants to join in the show. Shut up, dog.
Okay.
All right, here we go. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
See, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.